Good morning, everyone. Special welcome if you're just arriving for the first time. I know it can be a bit of a strange thing to sort of come in and pick up what God has been doing and saying, but our prayer really is that we would hear from God together this morning, that there would be a sense of God speaking to each one of us. And we're going to keep dwelling on this amazing conclusion to this most phenomenal sermon, this Sermon on the Mount. So if you'd like to turn to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to look at these wise and foolish builders. Matthew 7, verse 24. There's no church Bibles. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because the foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's a living word. We read that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Lord, it's a word that can come and change and transform our lives. Lord, through this word, we can hear the God of all creation speak to us. And Lord, that's what we long for this morning. Lord, we long, just come and speak to us. You could just pray your own prayer. Lord, speak to me. Just pray that quietly in your heart. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We've been exploring this weekend how to build in a way that endures. Build something that lasts. How to kind of storm-proof your life. We've been playing Simon Says. You know the game Simon Says? The importance of actually not just hearing the words of Jesus, but doing them. We've been talking, as Becca said earlier, about operating as a church out of a place of forgiveness and trust. Easy things to say, much more challenging to do. Last night we were talking about how we can bring our rubbish to Jesus. And just one touch of Jesus, it changes everything. We looked at this moment when the first thing Jesus does after this sermon and heals that leper. This story of the wise and the foolish builders is so powerful. It's very simple, isn't it? It's really, really simple. Its message is, at all costs, whatever you do, make sure you build your life on the rock, not on the sand, to put Jesus' words into practice. That's the key difference between these builders. These builders actually look pretty much identical otherwise. They have lots of similarities. They both hear the words of Jesus. They both build a house. They both experience a terrible storm. But for one of those builders, their house remains intact. It weathers the storm. But for the other builder, there is total, utter collapse. I mean, can, It's a story we know, but can you just think for a moment, just imagine what it would be like to build your life, to invest all your life into something and come to the end of it and discover it just all collapses. It counts for nothing. I mean, wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wouldn't that be utterly crazy? So the question that Jesus wants us to think about is a very simple one. It's a choice question. It's, do you want to build on the rock or on the sand? Okay? So, what do you want to do? Who here would like to build on the rock? Okay? Pretty much most people here want to build on the rock. So, I've been thinking about this. I've been wondering about this story, and I'm thinking, it is so obvious. Why would anyone build on sand? Why would we do it? Why would anyone choose to? It just seems utterly crazy. It's like kind of building a house on a floodplain. Yeah? Why would you do it? Do you ever see those news stories? There was an article in The Independent recently, and it just said, why are we doing this? This is utterly crazy. It's going against the official government advice where the house builders are building. It's bonkers. Why would we do it? Why would anyone build on sand when the consequences are so disastrous? And yet people do, don't they? We see people doing it all around us. We see whole churches doing it increasingly. Perhaps most sobering of all, I see myself doing it sometimes. You ever tempted to build on sand? Are you ever tempted, rather than being the salt of the earth, the light of the world that we're called to be, to look different and taste different, are you ever tempted to blend in? Maybe do blend in at work. Just be a bit sandy. Why do we do it? Why do God's people so often fail to build on the rock? Because that's what this story is about, isn't it, the Bible? Jesus' expectation is there's lots of people who are going to hear his words and not follow through. There's a broad road. There's two houses. There's two trees. Two teachers. And many choose the other. We see it even here, right in this passage. Verse 28, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Like, they're amazed. They're like astonished. They're like, we've never heard anything like this. This is just life-changing stuff. Surely they, hearing directly from Jesus, face to face, surely they would follow through. Did the crowd follow through? What's the crowd doing at the end of the story? Total rejection of Jesus. Why would people do this? I think this is one of the biggest challenges for the church at the moment. You know, the church in our nation, I think, in many ways, is facing a crisis, maybe a decision moment. What will we do with the words of Jesus? What will we do with the word of God? Will we obey it or not? Will we choose rock or sand? Will we obey it even when we don't feel like obeying it? Even when it goes against some of what we want to do and the desires that are in our hearts, what will we do? Anne Draycott spoke to me yesterday. I'm sure many of you will know Anne. She's one of the wisest women in the church. And cleverest. Don't play her at Scrabble. Anne came and she was just reflecting on the story we we were looking at last night of the leper. And I think it really ties into this challenge for us as a church in the nation. Will we actually follow through on the things that God says in his word? Anne, would you just come and just share with us for a moment? Can we welcome Anne?
Yes, I was thinking about the story about the leper as we were walking back, and I just felt quite challenged because I thought leprosy is a horrible thing, and we learned yesterday that the lepers were not allowed to be anywhere near anything holy or special because they were so contagious, because it was so evil, and in fact they had to live outside the city in colonies with other lepers. And it just came to me that we actually, as Christians, live in a huge leper colony called Brighton and Hove, where the people there are sick. But the thing is, when you're all lepers together, you don't sort of recognise it because you're all the same. And the lepers don't sort of see anything wrong. That's how things are. And so often as a church, we tend to adapt ourselves to perhaps be more like the lepers so that we fit in. And in fact, we don't. We need to be radically different. We need to be salt and light. We need to be something that attracts them and to show them how sick they are. Not in a sort of overbearing and pompous way, but in a loving and caring and compassionate way. And I think perhaps that we need to be different so that they can see the difference in us. Not that we try to conform to their ways or to think like them, but to be radically different in our attitudes and in our love for them.
Thank you so much, Anne. Can we just show appreciation to Anne? We know we're called to be radically different, don't we? So why would we build on a floodplain? Okay, a bit of audience participation. Why do people build on floodplains?
Cheap.
Cheap, okay, anything else? Good view, yeah, nice. Yeah, like nice. Anything else? They don't think the flood will come, yeah.
Easier,
yeah. Nice soft ground. Yeah. Anything else? They might not know it's a floodplain. Yeah.
There's plenty of land available.
There's plenty of space. Plenty of land. Anything else?
You can trust in builders that sell it to a wife and herself.
Yeah, you trust others. You trust the voice of others. Because look at this beautiful house I've built for you. Yeah. Yeah, there's some what seem like quite good reasons to build on floodplains at times, and I just want to explore for a few minutes why we might be tempted to build on sand, even as Christians. Verse 26 says this: "Everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on a sand." So Jesus is expecting some people to hear his words and not put them into practice. Why? I think one of the things that's already been said is it's easy and it's quick. It's quick and easy. You can build sandcastles really quickly, can't you? It's very tempting to build on sand. And as a culture, we are increasingly obsessed with having things quickly. You notice that? Instant coffee, fast food, on-demand TV, next day delivery is now too long, we need same day, next maybe 3-hour delivery. Some of you might have heard of Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek's quite interesting guy, appears a lot on YouTube. He's a business consultant, he's often speaking at Apple conferences and Microsoft conferences, and he's noticed this issue of instant gratification. We're just going to watch a few moments of what he says on this issue.
And it'll cost money and it'll make your life worse.
right? So you have a generation growing up with lower self-esteem that doesn't have the coping mechanisms to deal with stress, right? Now you add in the sense of impatience, right? They've grown up in a world of instant gratification. You want to buy something, you go on Amazon, it arrives the next day. You want to watch a movie? Log on and watch a movie. You don't check movie times. You want to watch a TV show? Binge. You don't even have to wait week to week to week, right? I know people who skip seasons just so they can binge at the end of the season, right? Instant gratification. You want to go on a date? You don't even have to learn how to be like, hey. You don't even have to learn and practice that skill. You don't have to be the uncomfortable one who says yes when you mean no and says no when you mean no and yes when you... You don't have to... Swipe right. Bang, I'm a stud. Right? You don't even have to learn the social coping mechanisms. Right? Everything you want, you can have instantaneously. Everything you want, instant gratification. Except job satisfaction and strength of relationships, there ain't no app for that. They are slow, meandering, uncomfortable, messy processes. And so I keep meeting these wonderful, fantastic, idealistic, hardworking, smart kids. They've just graduated school. They're in their entry-level job. I sit down with them and I go, how's it going? They go, I think I'm going to quit. I'm like, why? They're like, I'm not making an impact. I'm like, you've been here 8 months. You know? It's as if they're standing at the foot of a mountain and they have this abstract concept called impact that they want to have in the world, which is the summit. What they don't see is the mountain. I don't care if you go up the mountain quickly or slowly, but there's still a mountain. And so what this young generation needs to learn is patience, that some things that really, really matter, like love or job fulfillment, joy, love of life, self-confidence, a skill set, any of these things, all of these things take time. Sometimes you can expedite pieces of it, but the overall journey is arduous and long and difficult. And if you don't ask for help...
I would add that that's not something just the younger generation needs to work on. It's something we all need to remember. He's not a Christian, but he's pointing out that the biblical values of faithfulness and patience pay off. That actually when you put the words of Jesus into practice, they don't work in an arbitrary way. They work because they're woven into the very fabric of the universe. Jesus is the one who made everything. God made everything. He doesn't just say things for no reason. They work because they work. Following Jesus takes time. It takes time to love your neighbor. It takes time to wrestle in prayer. A wonderful story of Jane and Sheridan. It takes time to do that. It takes time to work on relationships, friendships, time with kids. It takes time to work on a marriage. Taking shortcuts is tempting. Overcladding buildings quickly with combustible materials, it's tempting, it's quick. In the end, it's disastrous. That's why Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. I love this. For at the proper time, you will bear a harvest. Isn't that encouraging? God doesn't tell us to do these things because it's like, I just want you to have a miserable life. Just want you to have to wait. No, it's like, I've got something better. But it's a slower path. Don't give up. Are you tempted to give up in some way at the moment? Give up in a marriage? Give up in a job? Give up praying? Give up on purity? Give up on forgiving? Because that's just hard. Jesus says the harvest will come. It's not quick. It's not easy. But it will come. Why do we build on sand? Well, someone else said this. It costs you less. At first. See, it's increasingly, it's not just waiting that is seen as bad in our culture. Sacrifice and self-denial, I don't know if you've noticed this, are actually seen increasingly as harmful to people. Do you notice this? You know, to deny yourself, to say, I won't do that thing that I feel like doing, well, that is harmful. It's been described as radical individualism. So in traditional societies, you would commonly sacrifice your own good for the sake of the whole community. That's normal practice. And what we're experimenting with is the polar opposite of that. It's a kind of new story that is being told in our culture that says it's all about discovering the life that's inside you. Become the real you. Look inside, find that thing and become it. Have you heard that message? Have you noticed the kind of sudden kind of rise of things like the multiple gender identities? Have you noticed the vast array now of different sexual identities? It's like all of a sudden it's just like, where does that come from? And what it's come from is simply people looking inside and go, well, I'm not really sure why, see. I'm not really sure what's there, but maybe it's this and maybe it's that. You know, I love the film The Greatest Showman. Anyone like that film? Great film. Great sing-along film. But this is the message of this film. And we need to, as we enjoy films, we also need to have our ears and eyes open to the subliminal, maybe not even subliminal, the blatant messaging that's in it. You've got to be true to yourself. It's a very powerful story that we're telling in our culture at the moment because it makes big, bold promises. Promises freedom. Promises a kind of a stripping off and a throwing off of the shackles of tradition and the things that might restrict you. And the way we know this story is taking root in our culture is because of the language that we all increasingly use, and I include myself in this, which is, I feel. I feel this is right. Have you noticed this? This is quite a new thing. Yeah, this is new. Yeah, I've just felt this. This is even in the Christian world now, widespread. I feel God is saying this. I feel it. And it's not that our feelings don't matter. It's the place where they've been put. It's that they've been put number one. This is the defining thing. And to deny my feeling, to deny the story of who I am, well, that isn't just a bad thing, it's harmful. It's harmful. But is it true? It's a powerful story. Is it true? Does doing whatever you want bring freedom? Have a think. It's really good to test the stories we get told. Have a think. Does it bring freedom? Is that what you see in our culture? Lots of free, happy people, a united kingdom, in delight at pursuing each of our individual dreams. Is that what you see? No, people are increasingly looking inside themselves for answers. And no one's warned them that as you look inside your heart, you don't find a perfect, neat identity. You find some good stuff, but you find some horrendous stuff. Don't you? I'm just talking about myself. Have you looked in your heart? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That there's some God-given feelings, but actually so often we have to deny our feelings. Deny ourselves, Jesus says. We're told that the best thing you can do is follow your heart. And so if marriage isn't working, leave it. You'll be free. You'll be happy. And as the statistics come out on the effects of divorce on those who get divorced, but most especially on the children, the effects are devastating. Now, there are times when divorce is unavoidable. But we have been sold this lie that taking the easy route, the non-costly route, will work better. Why does Jesus say, deny yourself? Why does he say that? Do you know why? It's simply because the world is a horrible place when everyone is out for themselves. Isn't it? You know, what you glimpse in, hopefully in the church, and what we glimpse in times like this when we're away, is people giving themselves on behalf of others. Going, well, I'd like to just go and play football, but I'm going to go and do this. Oh, I'd like to do that, but I'm going to go and serve here. And as everyone does, it is beautiful, isn't it? And when everyone just says, well, I'm going to go my way, it is ugly. And it doesn't survive the storms. Have you ever watched Bear Grylls, The Island series? Anyone come into some of those survival things? I remember seeing a couple of episodes a while ago. It's about different groups of people trying to survive on desert islands. And the one I saw was really interesting because there was two groups, and one group kind of really went just for living in the moment. They were swimming in the sea. They were sunbathing. They'd arrived at this island. They were just loving it. They were all getting on really well with each other. And then there was this other group, and they were working so hard. They're building shelters as people are foraging for food. They were falling out. It was hard graft. And as the viewer, you just know what's coming. But they don't. It's like, oh, sunbathing. Everyone else is like, I wish I was in that camp. You know, it's like, that's the nicer camp. And then the storm comes. And you've got these kind of people who worked hard. And they're sleeping in their shelter. And you've got this other group, and they're just getting battered. And they want to give up. No fire, no food. And this is where I want to kind of really get us to think about things at the end. What do you do then if you are caught in that storm? Because I said at the beginning, it's very easy to look out at the culture and go, isn't it? Oh, isn't it awful what they're doing? What about us? I said, what about the times I find myself building on sand? What if I'm in a storm and I realized I've not been following these words of Jesus? Because there's all areas in our lives that we have that, where we failed. What do you do if you've not been putting Jesus' words into action? Where's the hope? Because in the Bible, the ultimate flood, the ultimate storm, the darkness that comes with it is actually a picture of God's judgment. It's the moment when God says over our lives, what have you been building on? And this is where we need to remind ourselves that there's a better story, don't we? There's a better story. You know, it's easy to forget there's a storm coming. Someone said that, didn't they? It's really easy to forget the storm is coming, but the storm will come. Verse 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, the humanist society. Did you see this bus campaign? They said this. They said, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Another one of the messages of our culture. Now, how stormproof is that? How stormproof is that? It's useless, isn't it? It's useless in a doctor's surgery, getting bad news. It's useless when you've lost your job. It's useless when your marriage is struggling or when you're desperately lonely. If you've built a life on you at the center of everything, when the storms come, and you realize you haven't got a clue what to do, let alone have all the answers, what do? You face total collapse. What do? We need to remind ourselves there's a better story. In fact, it's the best story that the world has ever heard. We need to come back to the one who's teaching this sermon. You see, verse 29 says, Jesus taught as one who had authority. They're amazed at his teaching. He teaches one with authority. He taught like no other prophet taught. He actually places himself on the same level as God. Says this is God's word to you. And amazingly, we discover that this word of God has actually become flesh. This word of God that we're called to follow has actually become a living word, the Bible says, become a walking word around us. God becomes a human being and blows away all the expectations of what we think God is like. Because we think, well, yeah, we've built quick and, oh no, we've done that wrong and we've done that wrong and but God's just going to punish us. Or God doesn't care. Doesn't matter. And both of those things are wrong. You see, Jesus doesn't just tell us how to live. He doesn't even just come and show us an example of how to build on the rock. And he does that, doesn't he? He lives this amazing life. He's the only one who has ever only built on the rock. You know, he, the Son of God, even says, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, not my feelings. But then something unthinkable happens. A storm comes on Jesus. The rain comes. The waters rise. There's all sorts of storms. Betrayal, persecution comes. Trial comes. Torture comes. He's nailed to a cross, which is a picture of being cursed by God. Darkness covers the whole land, which is a picture of the wrath of God. The storm comes on the one person who's built his life on a rock. And there is total collapse. What? That's the opposite of what's supposed to happen, isn't it? Yeah, if you build your life on the rock, you don't collapse, you stand, yeah? So why does Jesus die? Why does he experience what the foolish man is supposed to experience? Because he's the wise man. And this is the amazing truth of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Because what we see happening at the cross is Jesus takes the place of the foolish man. He comes and stands in the sand. And he takes the storms on himself. He takes the punishment we deserve for not building on the rock. And then he says, I'm going to offer you a house swap. He says, I'm going to take your place. I'm standing in your place on your sand, in your house. By the way, I've built this other house. It's on the rock. And you can go and live in it. It can be your house. Do you want a swap? It's like, what? I've built on the sand and you're saying I can actually go and live in that house? This house that is so amazing that even the storm of death cannot defeat it. We see in the resurrection, even death does not touch this house. This eternal safe dwelling. He offers us a house swap. And he says, by the way, there are some house rules. Actually, there's only one house rule. Do what I tell you. follow my words. If you haven't made that house swap, I'd encourage you. You can make that house swap at any time. It's about coming to Jesus and saying, thank you. Forgive me for building on sand. If I stay in that place, I know I'm in trouble. I want to be in your house. And it's saying, I'm going to, because I'm now living in your house, I'm going to obey your house rule. We're going to do that individually and do that as a church, that when Jesus says something, when God says something in his word, we don't go, You know, the things we struggle with in God's word are not the things that we find hard to understand, are they? It's the things that are very plain, but we find hard to follow. So I'm going to pray for us now. And we're going to play a game of Jesus Says. And the first thing Jesus says is, there's grace. I'm amazed at that. The first thing Jesus says is, I stood in your sand so that you could be in my house on the rock. And I just want to pray for us that we'd know which house we're in. For anyone here who needs to do a house swap this morning, let's pray together. Lord God, you say there are two ways, two roads, two trees, two houses. And you say, amazingly, we don't have to live in the house we built. We can live in the house you built. We don't have to stay in the sand. We can be on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Lord, that's why you died. Thank you for dying for us. Lord, I pray for anyone here who needs to do that house swap this morning. Who needs to do that thing of saying sorry for building on sand. Deciding to come and live in your house, living according to your rules. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, thank you that you offer us grace this morning. And Lord, for the many of us here, maybe most of us here, Lord, who are living in that new house, Lord, help us to remember where we're living. Lord, forgive us where we start going back to our old house rules. Lord, help us to obey your voice. And just encourage you this morning, if you want God's help to obey, just to put your hands out in front of you. That's what I'm going to do. Just to receive God's help, because we need his help. Jesus says, forgive. Lord, help us forgive. Jesus says, trust. Lord, help us to trust. Jesus says, build for the kingdom that is coming. Not for now. Lord, help us to build for the kingdom of God. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Help us to ask. Help us to pray. Lord, help us to look like you. Whatever you're saying to us, this morning. Lord, would we do it? I pray. And Lord, help us as a church. Help us to not just go the easy way. Help us to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by your word, I pray. Help us, fill us with your spirit, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.